All right, let's kick off another deep dive. This time, we're looking at this article, Se pegó el texto. And
Oh, yeah.
it's clear from you guys sending it in. I mean, you're trying to really understand like how everything going on,
Yeah.
elections and everything is impacting your investments.
Absolutely.
So this article, it reads like it's from, a real veteran financial expert,
Yeah.
maybe even reflecting a bit on their career and sharing, some wisdom.
Oh, for sure.
And honestly, it's just a really cool snapshot of the whole financial scene right now. You
Absolutely.
know, economy, elections, investment strategies.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Let's jump in.
I am excited to dig into this with you.
Yeah.
The author does such a good job, like right away putting us right there, in the
Definitely.
middle of a New York trading room
Oh, wow.
when news of a potential rate cut hits.
Oh, wow.
Like
Yeah.
that feeling, anxiety and excitement,
Oh, yeah.
it's palpable right now, wouldn't you say?
Totally. Everyone's on edge, right? Just waiting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Speaking of change, let's talk about the economy.
Okay.
We got this data point. 3% growth in retail sales,
Okay.
which the author points out, it's a pretty good sign that consumers feel confident, right? But then they throw in this quote, the economy is in a good zone.
Interesting.
It's almost like, a cautious high five, isn't it?
Yeah, I see that.
Right.
Acknowledging the good stuff, but also, a little bit of we got to be careful.
I don't
A healthy dose of caution.
know. Especially.
Especially with elections coming up.
Yeah. Talk about something that could shake things up.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about interest rates.
Okay.
The author actually calls them the pulse of the economy.
Interesting.
I love that, like how they really influence everything and they explain, how higher rates,
Yeah.
borrowing costs more, right?
Yeah.
Leads to less spending, potential slowdown. Conversely, lower rates, they can really get things moving.
Simulate thing.
Yeah. But what caught my eye was, they're predicting not one,
Yeah.
but two potential rate cuts,
Right?
25 basis points each.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting.
Right.
The market's already kind of factoring those cuts in,
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Like investors are thinking the economy needs a boost.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder, are they seeing something like making them a little cautious about the long term,
That's a great point, and it ties into, what the Federal Reserve is doing.
Yeah.
They've been raising rates to fight inflation, but now there's this whole debate
Big debate.
about whether they need to like change course,
Yeah.
be more flexible, maybe even cut rates so the economy doesn't stall.
It's a tough one. Like
Yeah.
the author really shows like that tension, right, between
Yeah.
inflation and growth and the markets like hanging on their every word.
Yeah.
Every time the FAD like announces something, releases a forecast,
Oh,
the bond market goes crazy.
I get.
Bonds are super sensitive to interest rate changes.
So if the market like expects a rate cut, bond prices would jump up.
Exactly.
Wow.
And it just makes everything more complicated, right?
Yeah.
The author, to kind of show the FADI's approach, quotes an analyst saying, "Las decisiones futuras de la Fed dependerán de la dirección económica."
Okay.
So they're like always watching the data,
Yeah.
trying to guess what the market will do, and
Right.
then adjust.
It's like trying to steer a boat in rough seas.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, it's definitely not as easy as like buy low, sell high,
Absolutely not.
This is a whole other level.
It's complex.
Right.
But before we get into like how to navigate all this, we got to talk about the
A
elections.
big one. The author makes it very clear. Elections can flip the markets upside down. Investors get nervous, they start changing their portfolios, based on who they think will win, what policies might change.
Like
Yeah.
if a party's focused on infrastructure, certain investments become more attractive.
Absolutely.
Right.
And to really show like how unpredictable it is around elections, the author has a quote from a market strategist saying, "Las elecciones siempre generan incertidumbre financiera."
Wow.
It's just part of the game.
Okay, so we've got this economic data looking good, but with a little caution sign,
Yeah.
the Fed trying to balance everything
Right.
and elections on the horizon with both opportunities and, potential for chaos.
Absolutely.
I mean, where do we even begin to understand all this?
Right.
Let alone make smart investment decisions.
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
But the good news is the author gives us some great guidance.
Okay.
They offer some key principles for navigating investments during these uncertain times. And I think that's where we should go next.
Let's do it. Let's figure out how we can use these principles to make smart choices, you know, in this whole complex world of finance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's do it. It's awesome.
It's amazing how this article, you know, and takes us from that New York trading room to the bond market. And now, like, we're looking at how political platforms could impact different sectors.
Yeah. It
really shows how connected everything is in finance.
Absolutely. And that connection, that's a big theme the author keeps coming back to. It's like we're putting together a puzzle and each piece, you know, reveals another layer.
Totally.
And speaking of layers, you know, we talked about uneven growth earlier.
Right.
We see good things like those strong retail sales.
Yeah.
But there's this feeling that not all sectors are recovering at the same pace.
Sure, for sure.
Like some are doing great, others are still lagging behind.
Right, like a rising tide, but it doesn't lift all boats equally.
Exactly. So how do we find those sectors that are set for growth, you know, in this environment? It's
right.
Like we need a crystal ball to see what industries will thrive with all this uncertainty.
A crystal ball would be nice, wouldn't it?
Right.
But, you know. We don't have magic. So we rely on good research, careful analysis, and the author's insights, thankfully. They give us a framework for approaching investments during these uncertain times.
Right.
They don't get into specifics about sectors, but they give us valuable principles to use.
Right. We talked about those principles. Diversification, reassessing risks, setting those loss limits.
Yeah.
These are great foundations for any investment strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we actually use them? How do we make them work in this crazy financial landscape?
Well, one thing the author talks about is focusing on sectors that'll benefit from long-term trends, you know, those unstoppable forces that shape the economy for years.
I see.
Like, for example, the aging population.
Yeah.
That's a huge demographic shift with huge implications.
Right.
It's going to create a massive need for healthcare services, products, regardless of what the market does in the short term.
Makes sense. People will always need healthcare.
Exactly.
And as the population ages, that need just gets bigger.
Right. It's a trend that goes beyond politics, beyond economic ups and downs.
So it's about looking past the headlines, right?
Yeah.
And finding those fundamental changes that will drive growth for years to come.
Exactly.
Like another example you mentioned, the push for renewable energy.
Oh, absolutely. That's a big one.
The world's dealing with climate change, so there's going to be huge investment in cleaner energy.
Yeah, companies in that space are in a good spot for long-term growth.
So it's about recognizing those big, almost inevitable shifts that are changing the whole economic landscape.
Yeah.
And then figuring out how to, like, ride that wave.
Precisely. Aligning your investments with those forces shaping the future.
I like that.
But even within those trends, there will be winners and losers.
Right. Not every company in a hot sector is a guaranteed success.
Exactly. Not all healthcare companies are the same. Not all renewable energy companies will thrive.
So we still need to do our homework.
Oh, absolutely. Thorough research is key.
Can't just jump into a sector because it sounds good, right? We need to understand the companies, their business models, their management, how they fit into their industries.
You got to evaluate the opportunities and the risks, especially when things are uncertain.
Which brings us back to that idea of reassessing risk.
Right.
How do we do that effectively in an environment where things are changing so fast?
It's tough.
Yeah, like trying to hit a moving target.
Well, one way to stay ahead is to stay informed, you know,
okay,
about the economy, geopolitics,
pay
attention to the news, but also dig deeper.
Okay.
Look at analysis from reliable sources.
Mm-hmm.
Get context and insights into what those events might mean.
So it's not just about knowing what's happening, but understanding why it's happening and how it could affect our investments.
It's about connecting the dots, seeing the big picture, and figuring out how those global forces might ripple through the markets.
It's a lot to keep track of.
It is. And don't be afraid to adjust your portfolio based on what you learn.
Okay.
The author really stresses adaptability.
Yeah.
Be willing to change course if you need to.
Right.
Be flexible, respond to the market.
It's like that saying, the only constant is change.
Right. It's a cliche, but it's true, especially in finance.
What worked yesterday might not work today.
Exactly.
And what seems risky now might be a great opportunity later.
Absolutely. And this leads to another big thing the author talks about.
Okay.
The psychology of investing.
Right. The mental game.
They talk about setting loss limits so you don't make emotional decisions.
Yeah, having an exit strategy before things get too crazy.
Right, before fear or greed takes over.
Because we've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
You see your investments dropping and you panic.
Yeah, you make quick decisions that could hurt you in the long run.
So stay calm, stick to the plan.
Exactly. Don't let your emotions cloud your judgment.
Easier said than done, right?
Oh, for sure.
When you're watching your money go up and down,
It's hard.
it's hard not to get a
You're
meme.
human, but the author gives us tools and strategies to deal with that. Those core principles we talked about, diversification, risk management, emotional control, they're like a compass and a map guiding us through all the complexity.
They give us a framework for making good decisions, even when the markets are crazy.
It's like having guardrails, you know?
Yeah.
They keep us on track when things get bumpy.
I like that analogy. It's a good reminder that even with all this uncertainty, we're not powerless.
Exactly.
There are things we can do to
Absolutely.
navigate the market, make smart choices.
Aligned with our long-term goals.
This deep dive has been so insightful.
It really has.
We've covered so much, from the big economic trends to the details of investment strategies, even the psychology of it all.
Yeah, we've barely scratched the surface of what the author has to offer.
I think you're right. There's so much wisdom here.
For sure.
It's worth coming back to as we navigate these times.
Absolutely.
It helps us make sense of the financial world and guides us towards a better, more resilient investment journey. Let's pick up where we left off next time.
Yeah, there's so much more to unpack and explore.
As we wrap up this deep dive into Spiegoletto, you know, I keep thinking about this one thing.
Oh, yeah?
It's subtle, but it's kind of a thread throughout the whole article.
Well,
Like this undercurrent connecting all the dots, you know,
yeah.
from the economic data, the political stuff, to interest rates in investment strategies.
Interesting. What is it you're seeing?
I think it's resilience,
Okay.
but not just like bouncing back from a setback.
Right.
It's more about like adapting, evolving,
Yeah.
thriving, even when everything's changing.
I see.
Recognizing that change is going to happen, embracing it as a chance to grow,
Yeah.
using it to get better, you know?
Yeah, you've hit on something really important.
Yeah.
The author does talk a lot about adapting.
Right.
They even quote an investment strategist who says, "Adaptarse es la única forma de sobrevivir en este mundo de inversiones."
Wow.
Like, adapting is the only way to survive in this world of investments.
It's true, you can't just stick to a rigid plan, right?
Nope.
You got to be able to move with the flow, change course, learn from everything.
Exactly. And the author gives us real ways to do that.
Okay.
They talk about how markets are always shaped by outside forces.
Right. Like what?
Economic data, political events, global trends, technology, all that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It creates challenges, but also opportunities.
And the people who can see those changes coming and adapt,
Those are the ones who will
it's
succeed.
almost like surfing, isn't it?
Surfing.
You have to read the waves, anticipate the current, adjust your balance to stay up.
I like that.
You can't just paddle out with a rigid plan and expect to ride every wave perfectly.
That's a great analogy. It really captures how dynamic investing is.
And that's where all those principles we talked about come in.
Right. Diversification, managing risk, keeping your emotions in check.
They're the tools that help us, you
Stay
know,
balanced on that surfboard.
even when the waves are going crazy.
Exactly. They give us a framework,
Yeah.
even when things feel unpredictable.
They give us a direction, even in uncharted waters.
And the author goes even further. They give us strategies for being more resilient.
Like what?
They talk about using historical data, looking at how markets have reacted to things in the past.
Okay.
Elections, recessions, policy changes.
To see how they might behave in the future.
Exactly. Learn from the past, prepare for the future.
So don't just react to the present, but use history to understand what's happening now.
Right. Recognize patterns, cycles.
See how different things interact to shape the market.
Exactly.
It's a lot to consider.
It is. And the author also talks about building up that inner resilience.
Okay, the mental and emotional strength.
Yeah, the grit to stay the course when things get tough.
Because investing is not easy, right?
Not at all.
There will be ups and downs.
Yeah, unexpected turns.
Doubt, uncertainty.
But this article reminds us that those challenges can make us stronger,
They push us to adapt, refine our strategies.
become more knowledgeable, more confident investors.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
And with that, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into Cepigo el Texto.
It's been a fascinating look at what shapes the financial world
Absolutely.
and the principles that can help us invest more successfully, more resiliently. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been great.
We hope you found it helpful, empowering.
Yeah.
Before we go, one last thought.
Okay.
Thinking about everything we've talked about today, what parts of your own investment strategy might you want to rethink or explore more?
Good question.
Maybe revisit this article as you navigate the markets?
Yeah, it's a great resource.
Remember, the journey is just as important as the destination.
Wise words.
Embrace the challenges, learn from everything, and never stop adapting.
Couldn't agree more.
Stay curious, stay informed, and stay resilient.
Absolutely.
Until next time.